Hafaday and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Aaron Coffey. It was presented in January of 2007. The title of the message, Fear Factor.
I want you to realize today that every single one of us, me included, you, the person beside you, every single one of us have a problem with fear. Just for a minute, I want to look at a few Bible examples. What does fear look like? It shows up in the Bible all over the place. And just some different things. Number one, speaking without thinking. Are you one of these people that talks a lot without thinking and you end up sticking your foot in your mouth? Well, according to the Bible, just listen to this scenario. The story of Peter in Mark chapter 9, verses 5 through 6. Peter answered and said to Jesus, this was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus goes up and he takes Peter, James, and John with him. And he gets up there and he gets on top of this mountain. And all of a sudden, Jesus begins to glow and he's transfigured right in front of them. All of a sudden, Moses shows up. All of a sudden, Elijah shows up. I mean, man, this is crazy. These men have been dead for hundreds of years and they appear. And these men, Peter, James, and John, they hit the dirt. They are afraid. But you know what? James and John, they have enough sense to keep their mouth closed. But don't you listen to Peter. Peter always running his mouth. Listen to what he says. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And then listen why he said this. If you understood the scenario, this was a very foolish thing for him to say. He needed to keep his mouth shut. But why does he say what he said? Verse number 6, for he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. It was because of fear. How about this one? Disobedience. King Saul in 1 Samuel. God has commanded Saul to kill all the Amalekites, all of their sheep, all of their oxen, their king, everybody. But he saves the king Agag and the sheep and the oxen alive. And listen to what it says. When he comes to Samuel and Samuel finds out what he's done, Saul said this. Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. Why? Why did he disobey? Guys, listen. In this particular situation, the reason he disobeyed God was he said, because I feared the people. And I obeyed their voice. How about this one? Ashamed of the gospel. Have you ever been ashamed of the gospel? Have you ever been ashamed to tell somebody about Christ? Listen to this with the Pharisees. John chapter 12, 42 through 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, on Christ. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. These men were afraid. They were fearful of what the Pharisees would think. You ever been fearful of what other people thought, and so that kept you from really confessing Christ? How about this one? Very similar. Failure to stand for Christ. Once again, Peter. This is when Peter is betraying Jesus Christ. I mean, Judas is the one who went and gave all the money to betray him. But you know what? Peter betrayed him too. He denied him three times. And I want you to listen what happened. And then began he, Peter, to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Guys, listen, it was because of fear. He was afraid of what might happen. How about this one? Well, that was the story of Peter. How about this one? Seeking acceptance from others, and it's motivated by fear. Listen to this story. This is a very sad story. The story of Leah. Now, Leah had a sister named Rachel. Rachel was very pretty. Leah was not. And you know what the problem was? Number one is they both married the same man. Listen, girls, don't marry the same man as your sister. It's going to be problems. But these two sisters married the same man. And you know what happened? Because Rachel was pretty, Jacob loved Rachel, and he did not love Leah. Well, the Bible tells us that Rachel could not have children, but Leah could. And I want you to listen to what Leah says right here. Listen to what Leah said. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated by her husband, he opened her womb, and Rachel was barren, and Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, "Behold, the Lord hath heard that I was hated, and hath therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon, and she conceived again and bare a son, and said, "Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore she named his name Levi. Now you would have to understand these names to realize this, but when she names these 3 boys, she names the names, which means that she is crying out. She simply wants her husband to love her. Now, you know what? That's not a very bad request. But what if, young man, young lady, the person who you want to love more, who you want to love you more than anybody else in the world, never loves you? What if maybe it's a mom or a dad? What if it's a guy who someday you get engaged to and it just never happens? What if it's a girl that you get engaged to but it never happens? Or what if it's somebody that it does happen, you marry them, but still you find out that they don't love you like you thought they did? You know what? That is exactly where this lady was. And it's a sad story. It breaks your heart. But you know what? She finally had a son, and she named his name a name which meant basically, "You know what, God? I know that you love me, and I am fine with your love, even if my husband never loves me." And you know what, guys? Leah's husband never loved her like he loved Rachel. She lived her entire life hurting. But you know what? She came to the place where she said, "God, you are more than enough. I do not have to live in fear of what my husband thinks of me." How about this one? Arrogance. Once again, King Saul. Everybody in Israel knew that only the priest was allowed to do sacrifices. But here Saul is, and he does sacrifices, and he's not supposed to. And listen what he says to Samuel. "Therefore said I," King Saul says, "the Philistines will come down upon me at Gilgal. And I have not made supplication of the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said unto Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly." This was an arrogant, prideful move. Why? Because he was afraid. Guys, in every single one of these instances, and I just picked a few, all through the Bible, we find people falling and failing, and the reason is fear. In every single one of these situations, these people were afraid of other people. You see, there's different types of fear. I've put probably the 3 main fears in life. 3 different types of fear. First of all is the fear of death. If somebody came in here and started shooting, we would all hide for cover. We all understand the fear of death. The fear of failure. Nobody wants to be a failure. But you know what? How about this one? The fear of man. In all of the Word of God, which one do you think it talks about the most? The fear of man. Guys, the fear of man is the thing that will cripple you for all of your life. This is not just a teenage problem. This is an adult problem. But it starts right here. I want you to listen to this. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." The fear of man bringeth a snare. Somebody raise your hand and tell me, what is a snare? What does it mean? What's a snare? Yeah. A trap. That's exactly what it is. Now, guys, I don't know if you know anything about traps. I don't know if you've had any mice running around your house or any rats running around. But you set a trap, and it's not a pretty thing when that sucker gets caught. Man, they go and they take the cheese, and that thing snaps over on them. It's not pretty. According to the Bible, if you live your life under the fear of man, you will live your life in a trap. You'll be trapped. You'll be ensnared. You will be a slave to the people you fear. So guys, for just a few minutes, and I want you to stick with me, we're going to take the fear of man test. The fear of man test. Now I want you to stay with me. Maybe some of you have already worked ahead, but I don't want anybody else to work ahead. Stay with me, because I'm going to make some comments about these, because some of them need to be clarified. Let's do it together. Now let me just tell you, I want you guys to be honest about this. Cover your answers. You don't turn this in. You're not putting your name on this, but do yourself a favor and be honest. Man, nobody's looking at your paper. You look at yours. Don't look at anybody else's. You be honest. But we're going to take a fear of man test this morning. Stick with me. Let's just start with number one. Do you struggle with peer pressure? Yes or no? Do you struggle with peer pressure? People are doing something. Maybe you know you shouldn't do it, but you do it anyway because you want to be a part of the crowd. Do you struggle with peer pressure? Now, everybody just listen up. Look at me just a second. I want to say this really fast as we go through this. This is just leading questions to help you think, to help you see where fear shows up in your life. These are just leading questions to help you think and to help you realize where fear shows up. Number two, do you like to be in control? You really like to be in control. You would hang out with that group, but if you hung out with that group, she would be in control. And you want to be in control, so you hang out with this group, because here in this group, you're the king. You're the queen. You like to be in control. Yes or no? Number three, are you a people pleaser? Do you struggle as you go through the day, you do what's going to make everybody happy? You're a people pleaser. It's hard for you to take a stand because you're concerned about pleasing people, not God. How about number four? Are you jealous of other people? And I'm not just talking about their things. Maybe their life. Maybe you look at their social status. Maybe you look at their parents. Man, if I had their parents, that'd be great. Or maybe you look at their abilities. Man, if I could play the piano like her. Man, if I could play basketball like him. I mean, look at her. Look at her hair. Man, if I could have hair like that. Are you jealous of other people? Do you compare yourself to other people? You know what? It's a game. It starts. I mean, I bet that 90% of you have already done it since you've been at school today. You've already checked somebody up and down. You've already sized them up. Man, I mean, I cannot believe she's wearing those shorts. I mean, what in the world is she thinking? Constantly comparing yourself to other people. I've lived here. I still do. Guys, listen, I want you to know something. I'm not standing up here having no fear. This is something we all deal with. This is everyday life. How about this one? Number six, are you nosy? I mean, you just got to be in the know. You're just one of these people. You walk into school, and there's like this little group over here, and you can just tell by the body language there's something going on. And I mean, you're just watching, and you're just kind of standing over here, and you want to go in there, but you're not really, you're not sure if you're welcome. And so you just kind of watch, and you pace, and finally the group breaks, and a friend of yours comes walking this way. All right, what's up? I need to know what's going on. I mean, you got to know. You can't stand it if soup's going on and you don't know what it is. You just can't stand it. You got to know. Why? You know, these are just leading questions to help you think. To help you think. How about this one? Do you gossip about other people? You know what? I'm in Christian schools all over the country. All over the United States. I'm in Christian schools, and I'm in Christian schools just like this one, and I talk to teenagers all over. And you know what? You got this little group over here, and they're talking about these people. You got this little group over here, and they're talking to these people, and they're launching these emotional missiles at each other, man. I mean, people are blowing up. There's emotional blood and guts going everywhere. They are tearing each other up, man. I mean, you got girls crying. I mean, they're like total emo, you know. I mean, they are like messed up. And guys, you know what? Let me tell you something. You know why people gossip? I want you to listen. I want you to listen. You listening? You know why people gossip? They tear other people down because they want to make themselves look better because they didn't like the way they looked in the first place. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? People gossip because they tear other people down to make themselves look better because they didn't like the way they looked in the first place. Next time somebody gossips to you, you know who's gossiping to you? Somebody who's fearful and they're trying to make themselves look better. Next time you gossip to somebody else, do you know what you are? You're fearful and you're trying to make yourself look better. Guys, that's why we do this. It's because we're wicked. Let's move on. Do you get angry? I have depressed there easily, but more than anything else, angry. You struggle with anger. You know why people get angry? Because they've been hurt and they don't want to get hurt again. You know what? Guys probably struggle with anger. I mean, guys struggle with gossip. I mean, we all know it's true, guys. Let's just be honest. We all struggle with anger. I mean, with gossip. It's just a known thing. The world knows guys struggle with gossip. But the world really and truthfully knows that probably girls struggle more with gossip. But if girls' problem is gossip, guys' problem is anger. You know, girls kind of slow simmer. Yeah, they get a little cat scratch every once in a while. But guys, man, they like explode. You know what? Maybe you explode. Every time you turn around, you are exploding. I mean, something doesn't go right. You're exploding. You know what you're doing? You are showing the fear in your life. You've either been hurt. You've either been hurt and you don't want to be hurt again. You've either been made to look stupid and you don't want to be made to look stupid again. And it doesn't take much to tick you off because you're fearful. How about number 9? Are you afraid of making mistakes and looking bad in front of other people? Are you afraid of making mistakes and looking stupid or whatever you're worried about in front of other people? How about number 10? You have a hard time admitting when you're wrong. It's not that you're wrong. You know you're wrong, but it's admitting it. It's actually letting these words come out of your mouth. I was wrong. It's just hard. It kills you. I was wrong. Would you forgive me? I'm sorry. You have a hard time admitting that you're wrong? How about this one? Do you blame others for your problems? Guys, listen, we all got problems. It's like a big, huge zit on your forehead, you know? It's like you get them. You got them. Everybody else can see it. You can't see it. You ever notice you can't see your forehead? You know what, guys? Listen, we all got problems. Do you defend yourself? Yeah, well, the reason I'm like this is because my dad was like that. Well, this is why I'm angry because my dad was angry. Or this is why this because of that. And all the time, you're just shifting the blame. You never fess up to the real problem, which is you. Because you know what? We all got problems. I got problems. And I got to fess up to the fact that it's not somebody else's fault. It's my fault. The problem is me. Let's keep going. Number 12, are you too timid to share the gospel? Are you afraid to share Christ? Short answer, number 13. Who do you really want to like? You be honest. Guys, you be honest in that blank. Who, and I'm not talking about, oh man, Tom Cruise, you know, or something. I mean, I'm talking maybe somebody from the same, you know, a girl. You want a girl, and you really want this girl to be your friend, or a guy, and man, if I could just be cool with him, that'd be awesome. Who is it that you really want to accept you? Maybe that's a better way to say it. Who do you want to really like you? Who do you want to really accept you? You know what, guys? Don't be too cool to write the right answer. You be honest. You be honest. Guys, listen. This is real life. Who is it that you live your life for? Don't right now be too afraid to write the real answer. Guys, where are you at? What about the next one? Who do you want to be like? Not Mike. Mike. You know, I want to be like Mike. No, man, if you could have their talents, if you could have their abilities, if you could have their friends, man, I would love to be like them. What about number 15? What would you love to change about yourself? If you could change anything in the world, anything. Man, I mean, that's a real true to life question. Number 16, don't laugh too hard at this one. Are you on a diet? If so, why? That's not saying anything bad. I mean, sometimes it's a great thing. But really, what's your motivation? Is it really because you really just want people to accept you? Number 17, who are you the most uncomfortable around? I mean, there are just some people who you're just uncomfortable around them. I mean, it's like when they walk in the room, if you had your way, you'd just as soon walk out. You kind of avoid them. You stay away from them. I mean, it's not that you hate them. You just kind of wish they'd get run over by a truck. I mean, it's just some people. And you just struggle with them. And it's because they don't like you. And so you live in fear of them. Who are you the most uncomfortable around? How about number 18? How are you different when you're with your friends than when you're alone? How are you different when you're totally alone than you are with your friends? Do you like become this whole other person? Why? 19, true, false. I tend to avoid certain people, kind of going back to 17. I tend to avoid certain people. Number 20, I daydream about being someone or something that I'm not. I daydream about being something or someone that I'm not. How about number 21? I think about hurting people with my words and my actions. They hurt me. They made me look stupid. You have people right now who, if you had the right opportunity, you would absolutely dissect them in front of everybody and make them look stupid. There are people who you'd give anything if you could see them cry. They made you cry. They've hurt you. How about this one? I have high expectations for myself because I want people to respect me. Man, you already have it all planned out. You know where you're going to college. You know what you're going to do, what you're going to major in. You're going to go to this grad school. You're going to go into this field. You're going to make this money. You're going to make it to this status level. And those people who used not to respect you, they're going to respect you. And it motivates you You have high expectations for yourself because you want people to respect you. How about number 23? I tend to show favoritism. You say, what do you mean by that? I want everybody right now, put down your pen. I just want you to think with me. I want everybody to think with me. I want you to pull somebody up in your mind who you think is less than you. Go ahead, do it. I know it's a terrible thing, but you can do it. Pull up somebody in your mind right now who you think of as less than you. And I want to ask you a question. Why is it that you don't care what that person thinks? Because you don't, do you? You don't care what they think. You couldn't care less what that person thinks. But now I want you to pull up somebody who you do care what they think. Pull them up. Go ahead. Pull them up right into the front of your memory. This is the person who you care what they think. Why is that, guys? It's because we got a problem. It's called fear. It's called fear. Number 24, I constantly wonder what people are thinking about me. Number 25, I don't feel like people love me. I want us to talk about how we can overcome this horrible, crippling enemy in our life. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where we start at the very beginning. Paul says this, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. It didn't come from God. Where did it come from? Well, we're going to talk about that real quick. God's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear. It didn't come from God. Where did it come from? Well, first of all, you really must understand that fear is not from God. It's a manifestation of your own flesh. Fear of man is sin. Guys, I'm going to say that, and I want you to get that, because people don't believe that, and you need to believe it. Fear is sin. It's sin. That's the problem. Where did it come from? You see, when God created man and woman, He created them perfect. There was no fear. Part of their perfection was there was no fear. I mean, and I want you to be mature, please. But they had no clothes on. They were totally and completely naked, and they were not ashamed. Okay? They weren't ashamed. There was no fear. And then one day, Adam is walking through the garden, and he sees Eve, and Eve is standing there with this piece of fruit, and there is something written on her face that he's never seen before. As she stands there holding this piece of fruit that she's bitten out of, and written all over her is fear. She gives it to Adam. I don't know why Adam ate it, but he ate it. And immediately the Bible says they both realized that they were naked, and they ran and they hid. God comes through the garden, and He's calling for them, and they're hiding. They've sewn fig leaves together to cover themselves. And what does it say? God finds them and says, why are you hiding? And they said, because we were afraid. And they didn't even know what fear was until that moment. And guys, let me tell you something. They had children, and you know what? Their children were born fearful. And their children had children, and they were born fearful. And their children had children, and they were born fearful. And their children had children, and they were born fearful. All the way down to me and you. And do you want to know something, guys? We come into this world, and we're fearful. We're fearful. And you know what it is? It is sin. Just like your sin nature that gets passed down. Nobody ever has to teach you how to do wrong. Nobody ever has to teach you how to be mean. We just know how. Guys, you must understand that fear is sin. You know what? You must confess it as sin. You must see it as sin. You must confess it as sin. You must come to the place where you say, God, I don't want to live this way. I don't want to live in fear of the people all around me. It stunts my spiritual growth. It cripples me. I feel the trap. Do you feel the trap? Do you feel the trap right now in your life because of the people who are sitting on either side of you? We can't do the things that we would because we're fearful. You must confess and forsake fear of sin. But then you know what? You must claim the promises that we find here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Real quickly, let me just cruise through these. God has not given us the spirit of fear. It's come from somewhere else. It's come from the fall, and we all have it. But what has God given us? Well, first of all, God's given us power. What does it mean to have power? You know what it is? Listen to this. It's the ability to do what's right and to respond correctly, no matter how badly I hurt, and regardless of what others are doing, saying, or thinking. Guys, the power to do what's right. This is what God will give you. And you can respond correctly no matter the circumstance, no matter what people are thinking, no matter what people are saying. You can live in victory because you have the power of God if you're saved. Second of all, the second thing that God's given us, He's given us love. What does it mean to have love? He's not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us love. It's the ability to put others before yourself regardless of how they feel about you or how they treat you. It's the ability to love people no matter how bad they hurt you. It's the ability. It's a God-given ability. I can't do this on my own. This is beyond me. I can't do this. But it's a God-given ability to love people who don't love you. It's a God-given ability to love people and to put them ahead of you and to care about them more than you care about yourself. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us a spirit of power and of love. And you know what? Love is the thing that allows you to forgive people who hurt you. Love is the thing that allows you to witness about Jesus Christ. Love is a thing that allows you to be humble. You know what? Humility and fear are total and complete opposites. Because when you are humble, you will not be fearful. When you are fearful, you are not being humble. Because fear, at its core, is a focus on self. God has given us a spirit of power and of love. And then lastly, of a sound mind. What does it mean to have a sound mind? It's having the mind of Christ as the Word of Christ dwells in you. As you come to God's Word and you fill your mind with the Word of Christ, then the mind of Christ begins to become the mind you have. You begin to, in little bits at a time, you begin to think like Christ. You know what? Christ didn't live in fear. Christ loved when everybody hated Him. Christ went to the cross no matter what people were doing to Him. Guys, listen. It is the mind of Christ as the Word of Christ dwells in you. This allows you to find your acceptance in Christ. This allows you to see and to deal with fear in your life. Guys, listen, God has given us everything that we need in Christ to win the victory over the snare of fear. You must claim the victory today, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. As you can have victory over the enemy of fear.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Fear Factor by Evangelist Aaron Coffey. It was originally presented in January of 2007 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented in conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.